Welcome to our final episode of the bonus season, our fourth season of the Micro Budget Independent Filmmakers Podcast. I'm your host, Zaina Thyrus, here with my co-host, Brittany Franklin from Minorities in Film. Hey, Brittany.
Hi.
Oh my gosh, we made it.
We made it.
Episode 10, the final episode of this bonus season. It's been a ride. It's been so much fun. We've covered an array of topics, but this episode I'm especially excited about because we are getting personal. And we are talking about me and Brittany's personal projects, some changes that we've gone through in 2023, as well as some of the highlights from this year and biggest takeaways. Most importantly, we're going to be sharing an update about the Micro Budget Film Podcast and what to expect in 2024. We're working on for you guys. So let's just dive right in.
Let's go.
So what are some of the highlights this year in 2023 for you as a creator, as a filmmaker?
Well, other than this podcast, I had made the big, big decision to take a break from producing, like to just not entirely, because I feel like I'll always be in the producing mind, but to kind of resign from that being my main role and title, to go more into what I've always wanted to do, which is writing and directing. And that was a tough one because I came out of commercial producing, as you know, and we know how that goes. But I've made so many contacts and friends and comrades that I feel like have boosted my confidence that I can say I am a director, because that's what I am.
Mm-hmm. I love that for you. So how has that stepping away from producing, how has that been for you? Like, was it jarring? Does it feel right? Like, what is it? Talk to me about how it feels.
It feels like, I do feel like a fish out of water again, but I think a lot of things that I realized within this career, and, you know, I've kind of been in this industry since I was 14, going from being classically trained, Broadways, wanting to be a performer, and then wanting to be a director, then being a producer, putting director on the side, but writing for fun. I think it's all about what we do in creativity is always about shape shifting.
Yep.
So I feel like I've been ready, and I knew to myself that I wanted to do this and give it my all for 2 years so that I can leave and say, I know how to work on projects that are $1 million, $5 million and up, because I felt like that was a detriment for me. But I know now. And the last 2 months, I decided to take a hiatus, a sabbatical, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's the perfect time to do it because it's winter, it's holidays. Nobody wants to work anyway.
Yep.
And the one thing I did notice was how much time I've missed with my family and friends. So if anything, I've come back into balance with myself and knowing that in order to create or do anything in this life, you also have to just be with people, and, you know, family and life is way more important than any of these titles, number one.
Yeah.
So all these are my dream careers. I still have a full dream life. And I think it's been surreal walking into what that life looks like.
That's incredible. And also a great reminder for all of the independent filmmakers listening, no matter what role you have, no matter what hat you're wearing, it's like taking care of you and nourishing your community and, you know, being a person is so much more important before being an artist. Like, you're a human, you know, like that is so important. And I echo a lot of what you're saying. This year was really pivotal for me, because I too fully stepped away from producing, both personally on my personal passion projects and also professionally. I got into full-time producing, commercial producing, back in 2017. And I started off as an associate producer at an advertising agency and worked my way up for about 6 years to senior producer. And I was on all of the brands, all of the big budgets, the multi-million dollar shoots. And outside of that, I was an independent filmmaker and I was producing. I was writing and directing, but I was really owning the producing title. And so there was a point from 2017 to 2022 where I was literally producing round the clock. I was producing my full-time day job and then I would get off of work and then my after five was producing films. And I was just like, I'm a producer, I'm a producer, I'm a producer. But 2022 came around and I was burnt out. I was completely cooked. I was like, I lost my passion for it. Because at one point, especially in film school, like I was so passionate about budget, schedules, timing, go, make, do. And that logistical side of creating things and being like the captain of the ship and running that production, it fueled me. But it got to a point where it just didn't anymore. And I resonate with what you said about shape shifting because that 2022 was really that. And deciding, okay, I don't want my day job to be producing. And I also don't want my personal projects to center me as a producer either. And so 2023 was really stepping into that. I've changed my full-time job from a creative producer to a creative strategist. And I work full-time, still in advertising at advertising agencies, but as a strategist. And my job is basically to synthesize market research around a particular demographic and write creative briefs for copywriters to write commercials. And that has strengthened my skill sets as a filmmaker so much. I feel like it is a form of storytelling in and of itself. And this was the first year that I wrote a feature-length film. And I really stepped into that bag of like, oh, I want to be a storyteller. I've stopped calling myself a filmmaker and I've started referring to myself as a storyteller. When I introduce myself, I'm a strategist and a storyteller. And so that for me has really opened my eyes to like, well, what else can these scripts become? Like, could this be a novel? Could this be a nonfiction book? Could this be a play? It's not just about film. And I can honestly say I have fallen out of love with producing, and I'm okay with that. With the feature film that I'm working on now as a writer and director, I have a producing team, and this is very new for me. I'm used to being the producer, but my team is carrying me in that way, and it's so affirming. Like, oh yeah, like this is the first year where Zeta is not a producer in her day job or outside of that, and it feels good. It
I
feels
was gonna say
good.
that must feel so amazing. And I had a recent like kind of end of year therapy session because like we love therapy.
Yes.
And I feel like a part of me have realized that producing the things that I did, the things that I did as a producer came from maybe some type of like black woman, superwoman tropes that I had before, like my roles that I played in my family and my friendships and in society made me want to be the lead, the head honcho, be in control, know these things because, we're always kind of making something out of nothing. And by default, that title translates in this industry as a producer. And I had to take stock at the producers that I loved and I admired. And I said, do I want to be where they are in the next 5 to 10 years? And I didn't. And I said, you know what? I see other associate producers coming in, and I'm pretty sure that I've been here for a few years, and the next thing is going to be me becoming a producer. But I don't want that. I don't. I look at the people and they're great. I just don't want to be where they want to be. Do you feel that now, as a director, having that producing team, you feel, I don't know, if it's once in a long time, you have the support system that's backing your idea, your dream, your mission, your vision, and you do not have to do it all. You do not have to wear all the hats. You can ask for help.
It is so freeing and it's comforting. It's comforting. One of the things that I tell my team all the time, too, is like, I am that director that wants to feel like I can trust my team, where my team can make decisions and I know that they're making the right decision. I don't want to make all the decisions. I don't. And I feel like so much of producing is decision making, and that makes sometimes it can make creating exhausting. And don't get me wrong, like there are some amazing producers out there. I was a kick-ass producer, okay? Like there was a time for that, there was an era for that, and I loved it when I loved it. But now, really stepping into Zane of the Storyteller, like even with directing, I can, this is gonna be so bizarre for me to say out loud, but I really feel like my favorite role in a creative space is writing. That is my favorite. And then second to that is directing. Directing is great because you get to see that vision come to life, but there is, I don't think that there's anything more thrilling than like seeing those words on a page and like finalizing that story and figuring out like what is the story that you want to tell. And getting that out, whether that's on paper, whether that's on film, whether that's in a play, like in whatever form that is, it starts with story. And I think that to me is the most rewarding part of creating anything. And to your point, having that team that really is invested in the story that you want to tell, it makes me want to keep going. It makes me want to keep making things. It makes me want to, be a catalyst for other creatives, especially Black creatives who have ideas and have visions and they don't know whether or not they're quote unquote good enough, to create. It's like they are. They absolutely are. You are good enough, your ideas are good enough, and it's worth pursuing. It's absolutely worth pursuing.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that. And I love that you're connecting more with writing. So tell me a little bit more. Tell us a little bit more about this new film.
Oh
I know you haven't been directing for like what, a couple of years now, a year and a half?
it'll be 2 years. By the time I get on set, it'll be like 2 years since I've been on set. The last film that I did was New Santa, and that was back in February 2022. So this will be the first film after a bit of a hiatus. I was like, I need to take time to change my day job from producing. I need to write a feature. So this film is called The OG Boot Camp. It stands for the Orgasm Gap Boot Camp, and it is a hilarious mockumentary. Mockumentary, it's like Abbott Elementary or The Office, so it's basically a comedy doc, if you will. So here's a log line: enraged by the disparities in orgasms between heterosexual men and women, an aspiring sexologist conducts a social experiment with four wives who ambush their husbands into an all-day sex education boot camp. And this film, I think, was, I love writing comedy and I love using comedy as a way to unpack and have difficult conversations. And at the root of this film, it's about vulnerability and communication. I had a ton of fun writing it, and everyone who's read it, there's been like 8 or 9 people outside of like the cast and crew, but like people have read it and the reactions are my favorite part. People have said they've read the full script in one sitting. People have sent me very long voice notes screaming, laughing, like they are like, this is hilarious, but it's also much needed, because we get into the nitty-gritty about why people do the things that they do, why we're not having these open and honest and vulnerable conversations, how to bring up, how to have difficult conversations, especially around intimacy and connection. And I think, the most incredible part about this is that it is a micro budget film. And how it came about, my lead creative producer is an incredible producer who I was in film school with. And we would always make these micro budget films like in our living room, run and gun, like nimble, scrappy. His name's Ryan. Shout out to Ryan. And he hit me up randomly one day and was like, hey, I've got an opportunity to be a part of the Producers Guild. I just need a recommendation. And I've asked two people. He's asked an EP and he asked me. And I was like, sure. And so I wrote the letter of recommendation. He got in and was like, do you have anything you're working on? And I'm like, well, yeah, I have a script. And he read it, loved it, and was like, the EP that I asked for a letter of recommendation, she might actually like this as well. And she read it. Loved it. She invited us over for dinner and she's like, yeah, I'm in. I want to do this, the whole enchilada. Her name is Linda Carms. She's an incredible Emmy-winning EP. And it goes to show, like, you never know where your film school connections will take you. You know, it's this film was funded on a micro budget scale. It's a $20,000 budget. We're using the SAG micro budget agreement, so it cannot exceed $20,000. We are filming in one location. I write all my scripts to be a one location film. We're working with a church that's going to double as like a recreation center where this crazy boot camp is happening. And then there's two scenes that take place in Ryan's living room across the street from the recreation center. So we're all in one place.
Happy. That's how it's great. It's gonna
Yes.
be amazing. Keep going, keep going.
It's very scrappy. It's very scrappy. And another way we kept costs down outside of the SAG micro budget agreement, you know, all of the cast is working on the SAG micro budget rates. But for crew, we partnered with me and Ryan's film school that we graduated from to do an independent study with graduating students. So our entire crew is staffed with grad school film students. And that's been amazing because seeing, honestly, being able to see film students kind of run with this role, the role that they're in, and be able to kind of own their craft on a feature is great. It's an experience that I wish I had in film school, to be quite honest. And with a mockumentary, the really awesome thing, I adore my camera team. There's not a shot list, you know, there's moments that you capture, but you're shooting it like a doc. It's a narrative film that you're shooting like a documentary. And so I think the really awesome thing is that every single person, nearly, well, let me say this. The really awesome thing is that me and Ryan have full-time jobs. So our Tuesdays are our camera team, lighting team meetings, and then Thursdays are our producer meetings after work. And then we're taking our PTO to go like make the film. And so we have been having those weekly meetings since like late summer leading up to it. And we just have our checklist and our line producer, who's also a student at the university, is incredible. She sourced the crew. We've worked with an incredible casting agency who believes in the project to help source incredible talent. Our cast is phenomenal. They also love the project. I'm super grateful that my lead actress is Giovanni Samuels. People might know her from All That, from Freedom Writer. She was a prominent like child star, and this is her first leading role. I literally hit her up on Instagram and was like, "Hey, I've got a script." And I met her at an event, an independent film screening event called The Screening Room in Atlanta a couple years ago. And so we met and followed each other, and I just DM'd her and I'm like, "Hey, we met a couple years ago. I got a script." Sent it to her. She loved it. She was in. So like it literally just all came together as a result of film school, making scrappy films with your friends, being resourceful, people knowing people. And we shoot in January. So this thing is like, it is happening.
By the time this episode comes out, you would be on your way to shooting. Awesome. And I think it's so full circle how this whole year, and ever since you started the micro budget film pods in season one, all of the tips that you've talked about in every single episode have been implemented in order to produce and develop this feature film that you're working on. And so I think it's a testament to how easy it is for us to come and talk about all these ways you can create a compelling story and tell your story, no matter how much budget you have allocated for that. There's always a way. There's always community. There's always connection. There's always just the art of just putting yourself out there. I'm so excited to see what comes of this. I'm so super, super, super excited.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a ride, but again, shout out to my producing team. I would not be able to handle a full-time job and directing an ensemble cast of 12 characters and all of this without them. And so, yeah, make your films. Okay, tell me, what has been your highlight project of the year? What have you been working on? Brittany, the director.
Oh man, I've been lucky to work on a lot, but this one specifically has been my first directing project on a script that I did not write.
Oh.
So this was a challenge because, I read a lot. I like to read a lot of scripts. I like to give a lot of feedback. But the amazing thing with being a founder of Minorities in Film is that I see so many stories. I see so many artists. I see so many amazing scripts come my way. And I'm like, damn, like this is good. One of our community liaisons at the time, Ronald Thomas Hilton, was developing a story and he had reached out and we connected almost 3 years ago, maybe four, on this story that he had in mind, and it was inspired by New York experience, and it's called Natives. And it explores what it's like to be a queer early 20-something native New Yorker navigating adulthood in the projects of NYC. And I read the script, but first I appreciated how he approached me to share the information with me. I'm a huge, super, super, super humble person. So I'm always like taken aback when somebody packages a treatment, a log line synopsis. They don't send me the script yet. And then they also send me email and what they like about my work. And I'm like, when did you see my work? And then it was just so, the outreach was just superb. And that's what caught my eye. I don't mind a whole body of text for an email as long as it's telling a story and captivating me. So that's what he did. He sent me a deck, a log line, a synopsis, where he's going, what he needs help with, when he would like to connect. And we had a meeting, and I just loved his vibe. And then being a native New Yorker myself, and then also someone who has identifies as queer as well, it was really a unique, refreshing take on New York City in a way that we've never seen in a web series and like a series in general. And he likens it from his inspiration from P-Valley and from Insecure, but from a full ensemble cast that's all queer, all BIPOC, Afro-Latino, trans. And I was like, I have not seen this. It's six characters. And they're all like a rainbow hodgepodge of the diversity that's in New York within that subculture that's often overlooked in the hood. And Natives was an amazing story. He went in, he worked it, he took my feedback, he took others' feedback. I originally worked as a producer, helping him budget the script and break down to see how much he would need to raise. He wound up raising $25,000 for the project. So this is another 20-25 margin thing. And he also created a writer's room, worked on that for a year, had amazing writers, queer writers of all of the, spectrum. And they came up with, I think, six episodes. And each episode kind of titled by each lead character. So it was one of those butterfly effect type, you transition to each character's POV. And I was like, this guy did the work. He raised the money, he wrote the scripts, and then he cast and he kept me a part of the process. And throughout the process, I was like, how about being a director? I would really like to direct this if you would take me and like look at some other producers and I'll recommend some, but I really want to direct at least the pilot. And he went and he continued to network with people, but eventually I wound up being the director for the first episode. And the second episode, he was going to film all of the episodes, and everybody came together. He was like, we have to figure out a way that is only $25,000. So we gotta be realistic here. And he was pushing back. He was like, if we don't do all episodes, I want to do at least two, but I don't want to do a short film. Did not want to do a proof of concept. And he was adamant about that. And I said, I love it. We'll make it happen. And luckily, he had a producer that came on that was also a DP. And we filmed the first two episodes. Originally, I broke it out. I was like, this is going to be a 7-day shoot, but we wound up knocking it out in like 4 to 5 days. It was again, young team, scrappy team, hungry team. We had a producing team, creative producer that handled marketing and sponsorship. So we had sponsorship from a big queer dating app that took part of it. We have sponsorship for another streamer that's coming out soon. We release all of those sponsorships next year. We're going to be on a podcast next month, but we shot it and it's done. It's currently in post-production, and I feel native is it's a unique, refreshing, exciting story, and it's so heartwarming for me, especially knowing Ronald and then him choosing to not just write but star in his film as well. And it was a lot of firsts. He's trusting me with something that came really, really vulnerable to him. We were all going through a lot of personal things, and the matriarch in his script, Buela, was inspired by his grandmother who passed away right before we were going to shoot. So I think being on that set, everything came back. My love for theater came back. My love for directing, bringing people together. We have first-time actors here, but they just had, you have to have that New York. I was like, we just gotta do it. I know it's gonna be hard for me, but we have first-time actors, and they killed. We had actors who felt, the whole thing of not coming out, who currently aren't out, but maybe this film would be their outing. And so it was such a huge family. I feel like Natives is going to be an amazing thing for me as a director, directing somebody else's story for once. It's a whole other ballpark, an arena for me, but I'm excited. I'm excited for these first two episodes.
That's incredible. First of all, congratulations.
Thank
Because
you.
being able to take someone else's vision and execute it is that is not easy to do. Creatives are so we are sensitive about our things.
So
And
sensitive.
so sensitive. And for someone to be able to trust you with this powerful story, this deeply personal story, kudos to you. For being trustworthy and also like diving into that. That's a big task. That's not an easy thing. And it sounds amazing. It sounds unique. It sounds bold. It sounds daring. It sounds like, I mean, both of these projects that we're working on are extremely unconventional. And I'm just very excited for the world to see like 2024, the year where like these projects are the world can get to witness this work that we've been doing. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for us. I think this is a great segue into like, what is your biggest takeaway from 2023? I think for me, my biggest takeaway is that it is okay to change your course. It's okay to change direction. This was the first year where I really stepped into, like I said, like I'm not producing anymore. I'm a strategist. I'm not producing anymore in film. I'm writer, director, and it feels so good. And I was terrified. I knew that I didn't want to produce anymore, but I did not quite know how this new direction was going to go. And this year showed me, like, oh no, you can change course. And who knows 5 years from now what I'll be doing. And that's okay too. Like this stream, this current, this direction feels right. And so I'm just going to keep going in this direction as of right now for the foreseeable future. And that's okay. That's what you're taught me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I resonate heavily with that. I think the one thing that I've learned closer to the end of the year, now it's December, is to, like we say, be unapologetic, but also be raw with yourself. I think it's so hard to be a creator and pay your bills. It's so hard to be in this industry and get the recognition, because I feel if you are not recognized, then your art isn't being seen, and invisibility is kind of like our biggest fear, right? And I've been reading a lot more lately so that I can get more like inspiration. And I read something, I think it was in a book called The Creative Act. And he said one of the biggest things to just do and just create is to lower the stakes of whatever you're creating. And everywhere that I came from, the stakes were so high. Like in commercial advertising, the stakes are so high. So it seems. When you're creating a feature project and then you want $100,000 or $1 million and you want this big thing, you want to be on Netflix and HBO and this, those stakes are so high. And it could only stifle you in a way, but it also creates this urgency that doesn't necessarily bring out the best and most clarity that you need for your project. And so we are always cheerleaders for the young, scrappy, and hungry, but how much of the hungry kind of warps your distortion of what can be done? So yeah, I feel like when I lower the stakes, when I just like close my eyes and I sit and I be raw with myself and I say, what is the thing that I want to feel from this project first? I just want to feel heard. I want to feel seen. I'm like, okay, let me run with that. Let me just create a story that is gonna let that emotion, it's gonna release that emotion. And then when you focus on the emotion, it's just going to connect with people. But when you focus on the angle, the viewership, the platform, the distribution, impact focus, like all that stuff is kind of it prolongs you from even creating the work and releasing the work in the first place.
100%.
I'll say lower the stakes so I can create and then move on.
And then move on. No, that resonates so heavily because the whole reason I created this podcast from in 2020 from season one was just like we should have a space where filmmakers are able to make films for the sake of making films. We should make films because we love art, not to reach a certain goal, not to win a certain competition, not to reach a certain streaming platform, not to get any sort of recognition. You want to tell a story because you love telling stories and you want to share the story that you want to tell. It's just that. And when you do lower the stakes, it actually makes filmmaking enjoyable. I think so much stress comes from the pressure that we put on ourselves to meet certain expectations that I don't want to go as far as to saying are unrealistic, but it strips you of the essence of what creativity is really about. It's like if you're trying to meet this certain goalpost, and the goalpost is always moving in the industry, by the
Always,
way. There's
always, it's always moving.
right. And what's successful 10 years ago is not successful now. What's successful now is not going to be successful 10 years from now. And so you have to be able to define that for yourself. And really, to your point, just lean into the essence of what creativity is. It's just making things from the heart, from that emotion, and being able to move on. Speaking of moving on, y'all, we have some big changes that are coming to the Micro Budget Independent Filmmakers podcast in 2024. We've kind of teased at it, with me and Brittany, like, we're in this new season. We're in this new season, leaving producing behind, transitioning. That is going to be mirrored in 2024 on the Micro Budget Film podcast. More updates to come, but what I can say in the meantime, check out our brand new updated website, microbudgetfilmpodcast.com. It is much more streamlined. It details all four seasons that we have, season one, two, three, and the bonus season. Sign up for our newsletter. This is where you're going to be getting firsthand updates about what changes are coming to the podcast in 2024 and beyond. You'll also, at the very bottom of each season's section, you'll see where you can get the workbooks for season one, two, three, and our bonus season are all available. They are digital downloads between $10 and $15 each. They correspond with each of the episodes, each of the topics. There's templates. So definitely stay updated via the website. Also on our social, we have on Twitter or X, I keep calling it Twitter, on X underscore micro budget pod. And we also have a TikTok page. What's your
At micro budget pod.
at Micro Budget Pod? So make sure you stay updated with us as we transition into this new year. We'll be keeping you all posted again via newsletter, via X slash Twitter. I have a hard time calling it X.
It doesn't, it sounds, I'm sorry, it sounds like a porn site. I'm not gonna
Well, someone had to say it. Someone had to, in the spirit of just, telling it like it is. Yeah, follow us on the socials, keep up with our website. We are going to see y'all in 2024. Brittany, thank you so much for
Thank
this ride. It has been a solid 10 episodes. It has been so much fun having you as a co-host for this season. Shout out to you. Shout out to Minorities in Film. Thank you for your wisdom, your insight, and the breath of fresh air that you brought to this season.
you for creating this space. Number one, wouldn't be here without you, and I appreciate everything that you've done for the community. I mean, these 10 episodes has gotten me, has gotten a lot of people throughout the year. So I am. Oh, I'm excited for 2024. It's going to be a beast. It's going to be a new one.
It is. We're doing it.
I'm
Yay. We'll see y'all on the interwebs. Happy New Year.
Bye.